Chesam and Aleph, seven lines down from the top. Omar Rami Bar Chama is also Meres. Hamagbiya Mitzil Chaveru Kana Chaveru. In the case of the Mishnah, two people picked up a Mitzia of Hefker, a lost object, and they made a kinyan on it, and therefore we split it. Each one was Magbiya on the condition, on the knowledge, and the intention that he would be Kona it on behalf of his friend as well, on behalf of himself and his friend. That's how Rashi interprets this Gemara on the top of the page when he says, "Kshemagbiya magbiya l'das sheyikne bo chavero chetzia." Yishma mino magbiya mitzia, and the Gemara later on is going to explain from whence, which section of the Mishnah Rami Bar Chama derives this conclusion. And we now want to see the sugya to understand what the chiddush of the sugya is, and just sort of anticipating what will come around the bend. We have a principle of zochin liadam shelo b'fanav. We have a principle of ein chavin liadam shelo b'fanav. And in the case of hefker, since every person on the face of the globe has the rights, has the potential to pick up this hefker and be zochin in it, then if somebody picks it up on behalf of his friend, what he's doing is, in effect, is he's excluding other people from making that kinyan. And that itself is an issue. To implement and activate the principle of zochin liadam, to make a kinyan akbar on behalf of someone else, the exclusion and to the detriment of other people, then you're applying a zchus for one person, which is a chov for someone else. And that's a little bit of a problem. The chiddush, which is derived by Rami Bar Chama from Mishnah, is that nevertheless, it is operative. There's a machlokas achronim regarding this hagbah that Rami Bar Chama is talking about. According to the Sma, he's got to make a declaration, I am hereby lifting this object on behalf of my friend. The Shach disagrees and says that you don't need a declaration, but a machshava is sufficient, and that's it. The Ktsos actually, in this case, agrees to the Sma. You need to make a declaration because we have a general principle of Dvarim Shebelev, Lo Havi Dvarim. However, the Nesivus claims that whenever there's no contradiction between his Dibur and Lidiburo, when there's no Diburim Sosrim, then we apply the principle of Machshava and we suspend the principle of Dvarim Shebelev, Lo Havi Dvarim. The entire discussion here about Magbiya Chavero is Magbiya Mitzil Chavero is limited to the case of Hagbas Shnai, where two people lift it up together. Hurak Lemasha Enam Ochzim Mamish Biyodom Elahu Bein Shnehem. In other words, what's going on here is that it's not a case of Nesoli Ochzim Mamish Biyodayim, but rather the object is lifted between the two of them. In a normal case of Magbiya Mitzil L'Chavero, I'm lifting it on behalf of someone else. Here, we're lifting it together. The object as a heftz is being lifted by the joint energy of two people. In other words, there's one part of the talis which each one is holding on to. And that section of the talis, if you'd cut it off, that doesn't require Magbiya Mitzil Chaver, but we're talking about the part, that part of the talis that's in the middle, that's between the two of them. There's no ochazin in the mamish sense. And that which is between the two of them, that's where we need Magbiya Mitzil Chavero. Now the source for this din, as we'll see later on in Daf Yud, is Adam Abba Litfos Momen Me'alov Havur Malva. The case in its original is where someone wants to grab money from the hands of the Lova on behalf of the Malva, and in that case he is sort of jumping the gun because there are other Malvim that also have the notion that would like to collect that money, and by collecting on behalf of one particular Malva, he is doing so to the detriment of all the other Malvim. Anyway, let's see exactly where Rami Bar Chama saw his proof and derived his conclusion, if you're going to say that if I pick up the mitzvah for you, on your behalf, you're not kone, is teyase, then in this case, that half of the talis that one is magbia for the other, kemishim unach zagabi karka, it is as if it's laying on the ground. Vizo kemisha munacha salgabi karka. In other words, each person lifts only half of it, and the other half he's lifting on behalf of someone else. Now, if his friend's half, whichever way you go, Reuven or Shimon, is not operative as a hagbah, it's not a meaningful hagbah for his friend, then it turns out that karka is still on, that talis is still on the ground. There's no hagbah at all. And the Rashbi here quotes the Ravid. We'll see if we have time later on to discuss this Ravid. The Ravid writes that Ein Kol Zel Biofen Shim Chavero Yemeniach Miyado Es Amachzis Shebiyado Yerosha Munachas Al Gavi Karka. He says the logic of the analysis of Rav Chia Rami Bar Choma is only logical if you assume that had his friend, let's say, had Shimon not lifted up the other half, then that half would have been laying on the karka. If you have a situation where Reuven's action, insofar as he lifts up half the talus, would be sufficient to lift up the entire talus, half the talus would be admittedly hanging in midair, then in such a case, nimtzo kol echad osa maisag b'chol talus. Then we could say that the action, the energy force that he put into the half of talis would be a kinyan for the entire talis, as if he lifted the entire talis. I don't need magbia mitzil chavero. The Rashba himself doesn't accept this chiddush of the Ravid, and he still thinks that even if the energy force was enough to lift the entire talis, each one, with regard relative to his friend, is considered like karka. And therefore, no particular individual here, no magbia, whether it's Reuven or Shimon, did a maisag ba on the other half that is tafus biyad hasheni. And therefore, even if Reuven lifted up his half of the talus in a way that the other half of the talus would also be lifted by virtue of that energy force, nevertheless, we still need the halacha of magbia metzia lechavero, kana lechavero. And that's the conclusion here that Rami Bar Choma derives from our Mishnah, Lav Shmamina, Magbia Mitzil Chavero, Kona Chavero, Omar Rovo. We Olam Emelechai would like to argue from the opposite position. HaMagbia Mitzil Chavero, Lo Kona Chavero. And this is called Tofis of Alchov, B'mokum Shechavla Cherim. Somebody grabs on to monies from the loaf on behalf of one particular malve at the expense and the loss of the other malvim who would have come and collected this money. That's called tofis of alchov, and it's chav lacherim. It's for the detriment, the loss of others. It's not a kinyan. V'hachan here, you'll ask me, why is it that the hagbah of Reuven works and operates on behalf of Shimon and vice versa? Hainu taima. The reason for this is migu de zochi l'nafshe, zochi nami l'chavre. We have a unique and fundamental rule that, in a sense, neutralizes the general rule of tofis of alchov b'makom shechav lachem lo kana. That's magbia metzia, when it's migo de zochi l'nafshe. In other words, if you are being zocha in this hagbah on your own behalf, then you could also share this hagbah, so to speak, and have it relate to someone else. And then it's magbia metzia l'chavero, kana l'chavero. But it's not because of a universal rule, which would obviously not apply here, according to Rav, because it's chav lacherim, but here it's migu de zochi l'nafshe, zochi lami l'chavre. The migu tells that since he's zocha through his hagbah on behalf of himself, he could also be zocha on behalf of his friend. This is not a general rule that you could be magbia metzia on behalf of your friend. Let's say, for example, you're not interested in doing the hagbah for yourself, you're simply interested in doing the hagbah on behalf of someone else, then it would not be valid, it would not be meaningful, because that would be tofes of alchov mokum shechav lacherim. But if you're being zocha through your own akbah, then you can expand the scope of that akbah, and it can relate to someone else for whom you have in mind to do this akbah. And that's the case of our Mishnah. And Rava wants to support this logic, and he says, Teda, I'm going to prove it to you, that whenever a person is magbia on behalf of himself and on behalf of his friend, then he can be kone, even though had he been exclusively interested in agba for his friend, it would not be operative. Ilu Omar, if a man says l'shlucho, he commissions an agent, say ugnovli, go steal on my behalf, v'ganav, and the shliach went ahead and fulfilled the mandate of the mishaleach, potur. The mishaleach is potur, because we have a rule that with regard to a dvar avera, and this is sugi at the beginning of the second parak kedushin, ein shliach lidvar avera. However, shutafim sheganvu chayavim, if a partnership deal is struck up in which these partners take an object, a gneva, out of the rishus of the bailim on behalf of not only themselves but their friend, their partner, is chayavim, in this case the chiyuve gneva kick in and they operate, and that would include, of course, kefel. My time wise, that case different. Lav mishum, is it not? There's a rhetorical question, is it not? Because the aminan migu de zochi lenafshe, zochi nami lechavri, since the ganav is being zocha on behalf of himself in this gneva, he could also at the same time take the object out of the rishus of the nignav on behalf of his shutav, his partner in crime. So even though a person, if he did this action on behalf of himself, on behalf of his friend who sent him on this agency, this criminal agency, it would not be meaningful, the shlichus would not operate. But yet, if that same shlichus is being done in a case where he, the shlich, is effectuating a kinyan on behalf of himself, that's already migulid zochi l'nafshe, zochi nami l'chavrei sh'maminu. This is Rava's proof. And now at this point, the Gemara adds another din, another scenario in which a hagbah of two people together is operative. Of a Rava hashta diamrit. Now that we've concluded Amrina, we apply the principle of migu, which means migu the zochi l'nafshe, zochi nami l'chavrei, is cheresh upikeach shekbiu mitzia, is mitoch shekona cheresh kona pikeach. In a case where a cheresh, who's considered a la bar das, he's not capable of a maisa kinyan, but he together with a pikeach pick up a mitzia together, then that bas hacheresh is not a kinyan according to the Din Torah. I mean, there is a takana mishum darkei shalom, is he cannot pick it up on behalf of the pikeach. Nevertheless, since the pikeach is also involved over here, there's a kind of partnership. And once again, we see the concept of migu de zochi l'nafshi, zochi nami l'chavrei, is mitoch shekona cheresh kona pikeach. Now, the sugi of gezel midivrayim of hagbas cheresh and shot of a cotton midin darkei shalom is in gittin dafnun testament bays. And in a Torah, that kinyan would not be effective, but in Rabbana we recognize that kinyan is validated, and therefore the kinyan that the pikeach makes, once it's valid for himself, is also meaningful for and on behalf of the pikeach. So the Gemara says the following. I don't understand. Bishlema cheresh kana deka magbile. Where, how does the cheresh have a kinyan here? Where is the hagbah that is effective on behalf of the cheresh? It must be the kamagbi le ben das, that the bikeach is lifting it up in a way that's meaningful, also effective, also for the cheresh. So, in addition to the chetzi, to the half that the cheresh picks up, he's magbia for himself. There's also to his hagbah. Besides this, as we said, darkei shalom, halachic recognition and validity, there's also another agbah that links up and integrates with the agbah of the cheresh, and that's the agbah of the pikeach. He actually lifted up the second part of the object, whatever the mitzia was. And therefore, the Hagbah of the Pikeach could be meaningful on behalf of the Cheresh. Ela Pikeach b'may kana. But we don't understand yet how the Pikeach is capable of acquiring ownership through this Hagbah. The other half of the object was lifted by a Cheresh. His Hagbah is not considered Hagbah, at least as far as the Pikeach is concerned. And therefore, it's as if the second half of the object was munach al gabi karka, was still laying on the ground, it wasn't lifted up. And if that be the case, the Hagbah of the Pikeach is not meaningful for himself. So I can understand, on the one hand, how the Hagbah's HaPikeach relates and is integrated to the Hagbah's HaCheresh on behalf of the Cheresh, but how can we understand that the Hagbah's HaCheresh is integrated into the Hagbah's HaPikeach? How is the Pikeach going to be Kona? As far as the Pikeach is concerned, the other half is laying on the Karka. Ela Ema, we have to sort of reformulate the statement of Rava, and that is that Rava's logic is, since we say Migu is Cheresh Kona, the Cheresh himself is Kona, the half of the Hagbah that he lifted up, and the other half of the Hagbah is the Hagbah's HaPikeach on behalf of the Cheresh, and Pikeach lo Kona. At this point, the Gemara thinks that the Pikeach can't be Kona at all, because the other half of the Talus, which was lifted by the Cheresh, is, as far as the Pikeach is concerned, is not lifted at all, and it's Munach al Gabi Karka. Unless you are about to present this thesis of Rava, that through the Hagbah's HaCheresh, which relates now to the Pikeach is considered a kinyan, has a kinyan, a valid kinyan of Hagbah on his half, but we know that the Hagbah's HaCheresh could not possibly relate to the Pikeach. So how do we understand the effective kinyan of the Pikeach on his half? Umay, we're going to have to introduce tighten the screw a little bit here in a different way. What's the migu of Rava in this case? Again, it's not migu de zochin and afshe, because the Pikeach, the Cheresh, as far as the Pikeach is concerned, is not zochel and afshe, but rather migu de shnei Cherishin bialma koni, hai nami koni. Meaning, in the scenario in which two Cherishin would be zoche and one chefetz of hefke, they both lift up to the mitzia simultaneously, each one would have Hagbah not only on his own behalf, but on behalf of his friend, because quite clearly a Hagbah sacherish for another Cherish is in the same, it's in the same league, and it's meaningful for the Cherish. Here too, with the Cherish and the Bikeach, we're going to say that the lifting, the Hagbah of the Pikeach and the Cheresh together is considered Hagbah, and not only is the Mais Hagbah of the Pikeach meaningful for the Cheresh, but even the reverse through this Migu is also true, and the Hagbah of the Cheresh relates and operates on behalf of the Pikeach. Tosus here, Dibur Maskil Umay, is not so thrilled with this derivation from Shnei Cherishin to the case of Cherish and Pikeach. In the case of Shnei Cherishin was Zocha together, that makes sense, Mitam Migu. That's a real, literal, and straightforward application of the premise of Migu. But in our case, we're going to have to say a double Migu. One Migu is Otu Shnei Cherishin. And then we're going to have to apply the migu of migu to zochi nafshi, zochi nami lechari. It's a two-step process, and it's way far removed. In any event, the Gemara rejects the nusach, this last nusach of Rava. Hai mai, what's the comparison between cherish and pikeach to shnei cherishin? Imtim tzalomar, magbia mitzil chavero kona chavero, hani mili hechad deko magbia le adaiti de chavre, hai adaiti dideko magbile, iu kona lachrine makne. The Gemara doesn't understand how magbia mitzil chavero kona chavero could be relevant here. I mean, that's the principle that Rami Bar Chochma derived from our Mishnah, and that principle operates when one person is magbia with a das, with the intention that his hagbah should operate on behalf of someone else. And the din and that din applies when he was magbia from the get go al das chaver on behalf of his friend. But now let's swing back to our case. We're talking about a pikech and a cheresh that lifted up the mitzia together. Is a daiti di deka magbile. The pikech is interested in being zochenes mitzia and being magbia on a selfish level on his own behalf. Iu lo kani. He himself is not kona, because again, the cheresh who was lifting it up with him is not capable of being zoch on his behalf. And now lachrini mikni, now you want to tell me that his hagbah is meaningful on behalf of the cheresh? After all, if his hagbah can't be meaningful on his own behalf, because again, the second half of the talis is considered munach agavi kaka, the cheresh's hagbah is not meaningful on behalf of the pikeach, then how could it be that the hagbah sapikeach would be meaningful on behalf of the cheresh? The whole thing doesn't get started. Because again, Rabbi Barachoma's premise is migu dezachi, migu dezachi nafshe, magbia mitzil chaver kana, ela ema, mitoch shelo kana pikeach, lo kana cheresh. We should really reformulate the words of Rav in the opposite direction. That Adarabba, when a cheresh and a pikech lift up the mitzia together, the pikech can't be kona, because the cheresh who is magbia together with him is not agba that can relate, that can be valid and recognized as far as the pikech is concerned, and therefore the other half of the object is munach al gavi karka. Is memela, Rava says, lo kona cheresh. If the pikech can't be magbia on behalf of himself, then the whole deal is off. The pikeach is not being magbia l'das hacheresh, if he cannot be zoch himself. If he'll be zoch himself, then it's worth for him, it makes good sense for him to be magbia on behalf of the cheresh, and basically they'll split the goods. That makes a lot of sense. But if, on the other hand, he's not able to be zochen himself, why is he going to be zoche through this hagbah on behalf of the cheresh? Now it's interesting, because if this is Rava's formulation, remember Rava way back when said hashta the amen amrina migu. It means that Rava was basing his comment on migu. Here we get coming to the opposite conclusion. Not that migu operates to create a kinyan, but on the contrary, the kinyan is completely null and void. So what we're going to have to say is that if he's zoche lechavre, as far as migu dezoch in the nafshi is concerned, therefore in the case of pikeach and cheresh, and the pikeach cannot be zoche for himself, he's not zoche for his friend. That also is a kind of application of the halacha, of the principle of migu. In other words, instead of saying migu dezoch in the nafshi in the positive sense, we're saying migu dezochel nafshe in the negative sense. He cannot be zochel nafshe. The pikech is not zochel nafshe. Is mevela, he's not zoche on behalf of the cheresh. The Ramban, on the other hand, says that Rava's intention over here is to say that if it would have been that which he is zoche, which each one is zoche, is because he was zoche and magbia from himself, then in the case of cheresh and pikeach, they would both be zoche. Kol echad, each one, since he's zoche for himself, he's zoche for his friend. In this case, he can't be zoche for himself. But the principle is that if he could be zoche for himself, that he could be zoche for his friend as well. The Gemara now says, if you'll ask me, Maishna Mishnei Chereshin Dialma, in the case of two Chereshin that together, as a joint effort, lift up a Metziah, they're both Konami Takonis Chachamim. Here also, they should have been Mesakein that the Cheresh, here also in our case, they should have been Mesakein that the Cheresh is Kona. In other words, if the other Cheresh, according to this, based on this takana, is mezake the other cheresh, then why can't the pikeach be zocha on behalf of the other cheresh? Hasam, the Gemara says, tekinu le rabbanon. Why, in the case of shneichem, did the chachamim make this takana that each hagbah should be meaningful for the other guy, for the other Chereish. That's the law, Silin Tsuye, in order to avoid, you know, conflict and bloodshed. Because if they won't be Zoche, then they're going to start grabbing it out of the other guy's hands, and they're going to start fighting each other at the end of a bloody boxing match. But Hacha, here in the case of Chereish, who picks it up together with the Bikeach, there's no chashash that the Pikech is going to grab it out of the hands of the Chereish, who wasn't Zoch, and they'll start fighting. Meimar Omar Pikech Lokoni Ano Akne. And if you'll ask why the Chereish is not going to start fighting with the Pikech, the answer is he knows that the Pikech is no Kona. And if the Pikech can't be Kona, how much more so I can't be Kona? Ano Akne? You know, the question mark with an exclamation mark? So therefore he's going to believe that anyone who grabs it out of his hand has a legal right to do so. And therefore there's no takana that, you know, we've got to avoid a boxing match. The Chereish is not going to fight back. He has so many reasons in his mind why he wasn't zochen it and the Pikeach was zochen it. So if the Pikeach will be chotef, will grab it out of his hand, he's going to think, kid din asa. You know, he did what is legally, according to the laws of Jewish halach and financially, is valid, is legal. Amalei Rav Acha, Berei de Rav Ada, Le Rav Ashi. Deyuka de Rami Bar Chama Meheicha. Where did Rami Bar Chama see in our Mishnah that Magbir Metzil Chavero Konal Chavero? If he derived from the ratio, the case frontal, you know, the first case in the Mishnah of Shtaimos and Metalis. Each one claims he found the Talis and they split the Talis. And from thence, Rava derives the conclusion, because if he wasn't caught on behalf of his friend, then why should they say, Yachloku? Ketzad Nasa, Hatal Shel Shneim? How does the Talis become the possession of both of them, such that we split it? If a person can't be Magbia, a Metzia, on behalf of his friend, then this Hagba of each one of them, Klapi the other one, is as if the Talis is still, half of the Talis is still Munach HaGavi Karka, and there's no Kenyan. So Gemara answers, Hasam, I can really push you away. This din in the Mishnah, where they found it together, is not a case where it just says Shnayim Oksim Vitalis High Omer Kulishli VaHayak Omer Kulishli, and we jumped the gun when we thought that each one says I picked it up first. Because if you're saying I picked it up first, what are you saying? Are you saying you picked up the entire Talis first on your own behalf? Did you pick up the Talis together with the other guy and half for you and half for him? What was going on over here? From the fact that Rami Bar Chama would apply, according to this possibility, the principle of Magbia Metzil Chaver Kon Chaver from the Reisha of our Mishnah, is that would indicate that each one is picking it up not only on his own behalf, but on behalf of the other guy, of his friend. That's not really so. The case in our Mishnah is where the each one is claiming kula shali. What he's claiming is ana agbahata kula. I lifted the entire talis myself, and that's what the other one is claiming. If each one is claiming that he was magbir the entire talis, then what does it have to do with Magbia Metzil Chavero? Even if I would say Magbia Metzil Chavero lo kana Chavero, but each one is claiming that he picked it up, we may not know which one of the two actually picked it up, but if someone else from the third guy from the street wants to come and claim that I want to grab it from them, so then he can't do so. You know, no one from the shuk is allowed to grab it from them. They're not claiming that they lifted up the talis together. If they lifted up the talis together, then in Achinami, we might argue the exact opposite of Rami Bar Chama, namely the Magbia Metzil Chavero Lo Kana Chavero, which means that a third guy from the marketplace, you know, from off the streets, can take it away from them if he wants to, because neither of them will kona. Because here, each one is claiming he lifted up the talus on his own behalf, exclusively. So the first part of the Mishnah, the Reish of the Mishnah, could not possibly be the proof text for Rav Yerachama. Ella, let's go on to the next part of the Mishnah. Mehadik tani zelmer kula shali v'zelmer kula shali. Each one is claiming it's kula shali. Hasu lamali. Why did the Mishnah have to then give a case of zelmer animitzasiya v'zelmer animitzasiya? That entire piece is completely superfluous. Elami Mishnah Yisera Zu, Shmami no Magbim Etzil Chaver, Kana Chaver. Why did the Mishnah add that Ani Mitzasiya? Ani Mitzasiya. It's telling me another din. That if they lifted it up together, then we divide it between the two. And why is that? Because each one lifts it with his friend in mind. And that's the case of Ani Mitzasiya and Ani Mitzasiya. It's almost like the Gemara, Rami Bar Chama here is darshaning Yitur Dekra, meaning there's an extra piece in the Mishnah. Let's assume that it's coming to teach us this halacha magbir mitzil chaver, when each one wants to lift it up together with his friend on behalf of himself and his friend. So Gemara rejects that. Vo Kimna, at the very beginning of the Masechta on Daf Beis, we interpreted the Mishnah of Zelme Anim Tzasi, etc., as a piece that goes back on Zelmer Kula Shali, and Zelmer Kula Shali is Reisha Zelmer Ani Mitzasiya B'Mitzia V'Seifa Zelmer Kula Shali is B'Mekach U'Memkar. So that's why the Ani Mitzasiya and the Ani Mitzasiya is not a superfluous, unnecessary piece in the Mishnah. On the contrary, it was added to teach us the case of Mekach u'Memkar, where we don't know who was koned first from the Makne. So this is not what you call a Mishnah Yisera, and therefore cannot generate and serve as a source from which we derive the din of Rami Bar Chama Ella, but rather Rami Bar Chama derives his din from the Sefer. It says in the Mishnah, Zelmer Kul Shali V'Zelmer Chetzio Shali Hasu Lamali. Why did the Mishnah feel compelled to add this entire piece? This is a Mishnah Yisera, because again, we're simply applying the general rules that apply to the ratio. We're applying them in this case, that they're really only arguing about half the talus, and on that half the talus, they're each saying Kula Shali. So it must be able to be Mishnah Yisera. This Mishnah Yisera is coming to teach me that Magbia Metzil Chavero, Kono Chavero, Shmamina. So the Gemara says, no, I can't accept that either. Mimai d'mitzia. How do you know that the extra piece in the Mishnah is talking about magbia mitzia dilma v'mekach u'memkar? Maybe it's talking about a case of mekach u'memkar. V'chitema i'b'mekach u'memkar ma'ala meimar. So what's the chiddush? Because after all, we've already applied the rules of the Reisha to the Seifa from Kula to Chetzia. Itzrich, we need it. Why salka daitchamina haidikomer chetzia shali lehevi kemeshev aveda vilipati should be part of from shvua? After all, the one who says chetzia shali, he could have equally easily have claimed kula shali. So on half the talis, he was a meshev aveda. He just gave it back gratis, and that gives him a special nemanus and a special credibility to lift the responsibility, the obligation of taking a shvua. Is Karmash Malan, the Mishnah tells us, no, we're not going to accept the Hodah on the other half as a Meshiv Aveda. And we'll see why in just a minute. Why is it not considered a Meshiv Aveda? The Gemara says, Karmash Malan, the high Iarume Kama Arim. Sovar Iamina Kul Shali Beinish Tabue. Ema Hachi. I'd rather claim It makes more sense for me. It's more beneficial for me to claim Chetzi Shali than to claim Kula Shali. That sounds counterintuitive, but the reason for that is he thinks in his mind, there's no question that if he claims Kula Shali, he'll have to take a Shvua. That's true. he thinks that if he admits on half and he only claims chetzia, they're going to let him get away with it, and he'll be able to claim his chetzi without the shvuah. So why should he get chetzi by claiming kula shali with a shvuah when he can get chetzi by saying chetzi shali without a shvuah? They are heavy. He thinks he's such a lamdan that by admitting half, he's going to become a meshiv aveda, and he'll be believed without a shvuah. Again, I don't know if he's such a big lamdan, but you know, there's an intuitive logic here that he thinks that he certainly, you know, gives himself a pat on the back, they'll believe him. Ella, therefore, we have to go on in the mission to find a source for Rami Bar Chama. There's a funny card. This is actually a fun game here. It's like a puzzle, and gives us the opportunity to analyze all the parts of the Mishnah one by one. Meha, the Mishnah says, "Hayu shnayim roch min al gabi hema." Each one is claiming the behema is his. They're both riding on the animal. Ha su lamali. Why did the Mishnah have to tell me this case? Again, it's a Mishnah Yisera. We already have learned Shnayim Oksim Betalis. It's just another permutation of Shnayim Oksim Elmi Mishnah Yisera. Zushma Minam Agbiyam Etzil Chaver Konechav Vero. The Gemara says, no. The Chiddush here is Dilma HaKamashma Derochev Nami Kana. In other words, even though Rechiva is not a Mashicha, again, for that we'd have to learn Mishnayis in Masechta Kiddushin as far as Hilchas Kinyanim are concerned, but nevertheless Rechiva, although it's not a Kinyan, is a Tfisa, and the reason why Rechiva is not a Mashicha, and that's the real Kinyan is Mashicha, is because he's not being manig. Sometimes when you sit on an animal in the normal way and your two legs are banging against the side of the animal, that's a way of being manig the animal. That's a mashicha. You're pulling the animal, you're guiding it and causing it to move. But here, he's just simply sitting on the animal. Maybe he's even sitting with his 2 feet on one, dangling from one side. But it doesn't matter. This is a case of, according to the Chiddush Mishnah, of Shnayim Olsen Veveima. Rechiva is considered like Olsen Veveima. But that's a Chiddush in our Mishnah, and you can't derive from this Mishnah Magbir Metzil Chavero Ella, but rather we have no choice but to go down to the Sefer. Bizman Shem Modim Oshiesh Lem Edim Cholkim Velo Shvua. The Mishnah establishes that if they each admit to the other guy, or there are Edim that support each claim, then we'll divide up the Talis without a Shvuah, the Behem without a Shvuah, B'mai, Iba Mekach U'Memkar, Tzricha L'Memar. What is the Mishnah telling me over here? You want to add something to Shnayim Oksim B'Talis and Magbir Metzia? You want to tell me it's a case of Mekach U'Memkar? If they both admit that they both bought it simultaneously from the same Mocher, then obviously the din would be cholkim, and there would not be any shvuah because they each admit to their friend. So what's the chiddush? Again, it becomes a Mishnah Yisrael alav, but it must be that we're not talking about a case of Mekach U'Memkar, but rather a case of Mitzia, and they're both moda that they picked it up together. The Mishnah wants to tell us that they were both zocha in the Mitzia with one hagbah that was a joint effort on the part of both of them. Shema, you know, we see from this, Amak B'Mitzil Chavero, Kona Chavero. Again, we don't know yet how to interpret this, because L'chora, it contradicts the rule of Tofes HaBalchov B'Makom Shechav L'Achrina Lo Kona, unless we assume the Migu, as Rava presented it earlier, of Migu Nezochli Nafshi Zochli Nami L'Chavrei. The question is, would Rami Bar Chama go a step further, and even where the Migu doesn't apply, would he somehow get away with Magbir Metzil Chaver or Kona Chaver, even if he's not being Kona for himself? In any event, keep in mind that Rava has consistently disagreed with Rami Bar Chama. Now, the Gemara is going to turn the situation back onto Rava. What are we going to do with this Mishnah according to Rava? Rava Amar Lecha, Rav is going to say that Einach Hinami, there's no proof to Rami Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama would go so far as to say that Magbiyah Metzil Chaver Konal Chavero, which, says Rava, contradicts the principle of Magbiyah Metzil Chaver Lo Konal Chavero. It's Chav L'Acherim. But here in our Mishnah, since they're both lifting it up on behalf of themselves, as well as their friends. Therefore, we activate the principle of migu d'zoch l'nafshe, zochinam l'chavri, something that even Rava could accept. Now, the Mishnah says, Hayu shnayim roch, when they're both riding on the behemoth. And the Mishnah gives another case. One is riding, the other is manig the behemoth. Each one is claiming kula shali. Each one takes a shrua, ein li ba pachos mi chetzia, and then we divide up the animal. Omer Rav Yosef, Omer li Rav Yehuda. And here we're turning to Chesam and Beis, Shamis Minei Demar Shmuel Tarte. I heard two dinim from Shmuel with regard to two different kinyonim in a behemoth. One I heard about Rochuv, and the other I heard about Manhik. And what did he say? He told me that Chad Kani v'Chad Lo Kani, that one of the two, whether it's Rochuv or Manhik, is not a valid kinyon. And I'm not exactly sure, Lo Yadana Hai Minayu. I don't know which one is effective and which one is not. So the Gemara clarifies this entire suffix of Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara says, "Hechi dami ilema rochiv luchudei manig luchudei." If we're talking about a case of a rochev who's alone on the animal, or alternatively a manig who's alone on the animal, a rochev without a manig and a manig without a rochuv, that's impossible. Because in such a case, Rabbi Yehuda would not possibly have had a suffix what the din is and which kinyan is effective when it's, which is not, because manig l'chudei mi ika mandi amal lo kani. It's universal. Nobody questions that a manig is a meshicha and he's kona the behemah of a meshicha. El e ika l'meimah de lo kani rochav hudi ika l'meimar. If there's one of these two that's not a kona, then it's got to be rochuv. So why did Rabbi Yehuda have any sveikus about it? A rochuv, which means he's a rochuv al gabi behema, is not a valid kinyan, and the reason for that is he's not causing what we call akiras yad v'regel. If you take a look in the Brisa and Kedushin, Chav Bezim and Bez, as far as Mashiach is concerned, you need Akiras Yad Veregel. And that's true for the case of Manig, but not for the case of Rochuv. That's how Rashi learns it here, Dibra Maskel Manhig. Other Rishonim write that Rochuv in Behemoth, she does, the animal does move a little bit, but it's not HaBehema Zozami Atzma. It's not that we can relate the movement of the animal to the action of the person who's rochuv. Just the animal sort of feels the weight of the rechiva on the rochuv on his animal and on his back, and the animal sort of moves on its own as a, if you want to call it, a knee jerk response. Ella, but rather, what was the question here? Rochuv b'mako manigi boilahu. If both of them come together with this behemoth, one is rochev, the other is manig, each one is claiming kul shali, and Shmuel claims in this case that only one of them is kona, which kinyan is superior? Rochuv odif da tafis ba. The rochuv is really holding on to the animal, no one can take it away from him. And when a person is tofis the animal, we're not going to say that Mashicha of someone else or Hanhaga Manig is going to be meaningful. O Dilma Manig Adif the Azla Machmose. In the case of Manig, the animal moves as a result of the act of the Manig. He doesn't affect the Mashicha, the Akiras Yad Varegel. And a Kinyan Mashicha, in the case of Mema, is the valid Kinyan. Now, as far as what is the nature and the essence of the Suffolk here, of Shmuel, of Rabbi Yehuda, regarding Rochu b'makom manhig, Tosus writes, Tzorch lom she-machmas tfisoso ha-behema leches mi'at. Then when the Gemara says that Rochu is odd because it's tofus ba, the behema actually moves a little bit. And then he writes, Hatzad she-manig odif mishum shel hu tofus ba v'hi hu tofus ba v'hi gam ho-leches machmaso. That's the way Tosus seems to interpret the Suffolk. The Rashba has a different interpretation of the Suffolk, and Beli Neder in the next shiur, if we can, I'd like to get back to this Rashba and see if we can make some sense out of it. But as I said before, Rashi seems to learn that Rachuv has a tfisa on the animal which is superior to that of Manhig. Maybe it could be that the Manhig is Ochez b'mesira, which is the afsar, which are the reins of the animal. And the way Rashi seems to be learning it, since the Rachuv is Tofes the behemoth, therefore the Manhig, although he is doing a Meshicha, normally his Kinyan alone, independent of the Rachuv, would be a valid Kinyan, but here we do not establish the validity, we do not recognize the validity of a Kinyan Meshicha, of a Kinyan Manhig, if the animal is Tofus in the, you know, in the, by the legs of the Rachuv. And now we have Rashi's pshat that Meshicha is not meaningful. And what we want to see in the next year of Mirtz Hashem is the kash of the Rishonim on Rashi and how they interpret this sugya and the suffix with regard to Rachuv b'makom manhik. So we'll stop here. I want to take this opportunity to wish everyone a Shana Tova, good Geben Shtior, lots of nachas, lots of health and happiness, and Avodas Hashem, Limud Torah, teaching Torah, Kein Yiratzon, Amen, Shana Tova.